in 20 minutes. But first, the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Man's Best Friend, A Number One Air, and TexasLending.com.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Some of these things you guys have already talked about, but I'd like to discuss them again because they're worth it. What about Dak Prescott now, huh? After you guys called me a sports idiot,
whoa, you texted me.
You sent threats to my residence of home, whatever that means. Anyway.
Residence of home?
Yeah. Residence of home. All right, I have a few questions for you, because I do appeal to your sports knowledge.
By the way, on the record, we've also said Dak has been great.
Yes, you have.
Yes.
I know. I'm setting up a false argument.
We love the kid.
Did Dak do anything in that game that Tony Romo couldn't have done?
Yes.
Provided Romo's healthy.
Yes, the scrambles right now, Tony cannot do that.
He cannot run that way.
No.
Okay. What could Tony do that Dak cannot do in that game, in this game
Nothing.
In particular?
In fact, you know, as much as I believe that Tony would have won game one for them, mm-hmm. I think they'd be 3-0 with Tony. I do not think Tony could have played better than Dak last night. I think Dak had a better game than Tony could have had last night.
Isn't that pretty monumental to say in a rookie's third game?
Here's the only thing, because I can't remember if Showers told us this during training camp, but I think it was Dak that told us when we had him on. Tony is very next level in recognizing the defense and getting the Cowboys in the right situation. So if you think that's really valuable,
mm-hmm.
personally, I don't know how valuable it is, because if you're really efficient like they were last night, what could you have done better? Scored 28 points in the first half instead of 24? I mean, that's about it. So whatever that's worth, I think even Dak would tell you Tony is next level when it comes to recognizing defenses, things that are going to happen, what that means as far as changing the play, what it means as far as who's going to be open on a given play. But
maybe that's balanced out by Dak's ability to run and some other things.
To run, even throw when off kilter. I mean, that's the thing that I come to. You know, I always just think, well, Tony has a better arm when you're going downfield and his accuracy, but Dak looks pretty darn good. They're not just dumping it off right here and there. I mean, so that's why I think that question is so important. Is in that game, if Tony Romo healthy and Dak is obviously healthy, Dak was the better quarterback, because Dak was doing more things than Tony could do and was doing everything that Tony could do.
Yeah. Tony would have been very good last night too, and I think just about any quarterback against that team would have been pretty
good. Yeah, and it's a bad team, and
he would have chewed him up.
Acknowledge that. But still,
Tony does throw the occasional pick.
I know it. That's the
thing. And Dak doesn't. That's advantage Dak. But again, you know, I was thinking about this last night. The last quarterback that I can remember that didn't throw a pick in his first full year as a starter that everybody just went nuts about because he never threw a pick, I think he threw two his entire season, was Nick Foles.
The great.
Who can't get Nick, a job two years later. I think he's the Chiefs' third-team quarterback. Yeah. So, again, like Parcells used to say, and Al Michaels brought this up, let's hold off with the anointing oils just a bit.
Hold off on the anointing oils. I like that when Al brought that up. I forgot that was a funny comment. All right. Fissure in the basketball bunch. Garrett and Tony Romo on the outs?
Hmm.
I have evidence.
I didn't notice.
What's your evidence? No one wanted Dak Prescott to get his first NFL touchdown pass more than Jason Garrett, because he committed the worst challenge in NFL history in order to try to make that happen.
Maybe that was behind it.
That was the most ridiculous challenge, as you guys were talking about. Here, Witten's foot is about a yard outside of out of bounds of the sideline, and Garrett's throwing the challenge flag.
First quarter early.
Yes.
Downside is first and goal at the 6-inch line.
Yeah,
that's the downside.
That's your worst case scenario here. I didn't understand that. And you guys brought up the question, who makes that call? Who tells Garrett, hey, you need to throw the flag?
There's somebody in the booth upstairs that has a monitor Now, sometimes the coaches do it on their own based on sideline feedback and whatnot. It's ultimately Garrett's call, though.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as he threw the flag and then saw the replay, there, he had a look on his face like, just hurry up and get this over with because I'm looking really stupid right now.
Yes. Garrett's face was as red as his hair and the flag that he threw. Yeah, that was horrible. I didn't even think he scored when I didn't even know his foot was out of bounds. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was in anyway.
Oh, I did. Yeah, like I said before, I think you could have been fooled if you just looked at the ball. It looked like the ball crossed, went right over the pylon. But, yeah, his foot was out of bounds.
All right. How many backs would Tony Romo have broken if he had tried to run that quarterback keep that Dak did on the goal line?
All of them.
And fighting the way Dak fought to get in.
All of them.
Pelted.
That was unbelievable how physical that was.
But, you know, one of those guys bounced off of him, though. That's the other thing. He's strong.
I know. Big, strong. But, yes, Dak looks good on the field and all that, and we're all impressed with him. But then you hear him in interviews, and you realize what a rookie he is. Doesn't know how to play the PR game.
No.
He's always going off with
really
Bobby Carpenter.
No.
Having Mexican vacations with Jessica Simpson.
No, he's got all that figured out ahead of Tony Romo's progression. No, Dak looks and sounds like a veteran.
I know. You listen to him, and he always says the right things. Turns it back to the team in a way that seems kind of genuine. You know, we've got, and I know it sounds like I don't like Tony Romo. I love Tony Romo. I think Romo is great.
You just don't want to see him play ever again.
That's not true. I'd love Tony to come back and play like Tony Romo. You know, no rust, anything.
Uh-huh.
But even in listening to them, Tony Romo has been so stung by his media coverage. You know, sometimes it's hard to listen to him as he measures every word. He's got the Obama thing now, yep, where he is just trying to so hard to say nothing or say something so carefully. And you listen to Dak, and Dak just says all the right things and seems very natural and honest and earnest.
Hey, I don't know if you know this sports fact about Dak, but I know you'll like it.
Oh, is this about his tweet?
No.
Okay.
High school, he was a backup. Starting quarterback got hurt. Dak took over and was the starter for the rest of his high school career. College at Mississippi State, he's the backup. Starter gets hurt. Dak takes over. Never relinquishes the starting job. Now, starter gets hurt. Dak takes over. He's great, just like he was in high school and college. Will he never relinquish this?
Boy, that is an interesting stat.
Isn't it?
That's a delicious stat. He just looks so composed. What's with that? I know I'm buying into it. I'm buying into the Dak Prescott.
Well, you
plus
can't help
because
do
he's
it.
Mississippi
Everybody
State.
Is.
That Dez leg torque at the beginning of the game was so gnarly. And in watching the replay of that, I'm like, okay, there's his season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's out there a couple series later.
They're tough. Football players are tough.
Yeah, but you also see guys that get hit like that and something's torn and that's it. You know, and then the squirrel gets hit so hard, and it was kind of interesting that he is the squirrel because afterwards he looked like a squirrel when they fall out of a tree.
Stunned.
And they're stunned at first before they get up. That's what Cole Beasley looked like.
That hit would have put the three of us in intensive care for 6 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And then he's out there again a few series later.
Yeah.
And I was concerned that they had, oh, my goodness, playing the frickin' Bears and you lost two of your big guys here. And then they were out there playing. Then you get a few observations about the broadcast crew here. Al Michaels, what was your favorite Al Michaels word or phrase of the game?
Okay, it was in the third quarter. And, yeah, Fernando, maybe we can dig this up for 740. I forgot to give you this one. It's when this particular player was back to return a punt. Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
Why does he say Beasley?
I don't know. And he did one of his go-to phrases that he loves.
Jason Witten doing yeoman's work.
Yeah. He loves declaring someone's doing yeoman's work.
He got that from Scott Murray.
why does he love saying that? Why does he go to Chaucer to appeal to the NFL fan? I don't understand. I don't get it. And Jason Garrett needs to quit spitting on the artificial field indoors. That is so gross.
I don't know why he spits. He doesn't dip.
I know. He's not dipping. He's not. Why are you spitting?
It's nervous.
And you're a coach.
It's nervous saliva buildup. It's a nervous habit he's got.
Robots don't get nervous, Craig. Robots don't get nervous. And then about 4 minutes into the second quarter when Jordan Howard ripped off that 36-yard run, J.J. Wilcox hits an old man on the sidelines that should have resulted in criminal charges. It was the most violent takedown. I know, Giorgio, you were at the game, so you probably didn't see it.
I didn't see it, uh-uh.
No.
It was so bad looking. I need to find footage of it and show it to you because I felt so bad for that old guy. I guess he was. No one cared. The crew didn't even talk about it. No one mentioned it.
I've got a hot sports opinion about that moment that I am packaging until 7:40.
Wow. That's a tease.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Okay, Gordo, thank you very much.
Yes,
6:45 on the ticket.
7:15 on a Monday morning, we have the courage to muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thank you, Miller Man. The big news outside of the Cowboy game, which we focus on as we do every Monday morning, is a sports-related story. This is a huge, huge death in the culture at large. Arnold Palmer, the king, dies at the age of 87. He dies while awaiting surgery, a cardiac procedure that he was going to have done, but he didn't make it to the surgery. He got too sick and he passed away. So it's complications from heart problems, and it really is surprising to see a guy who was always in top peak physical condition pass away at such a young age.
He was never really tigerish or Rory-ish in how he looked, his chiseled physique. No, and that's what made him one of, if not the most popular sports figures in the 60s, because he was every man. He was from working class Latrobe. He smoked. He had
smoked,
an ugly swing. Yeah, he just was a little pudgy. And
people could relate to that.
Yeah, everybody loved Arnie, and that's why I think he was the only golfer to ever actually have an army of fans.
The nation fell in love with him, and he becomes the guy who makes TV golf happen, basically. He's the one who put it over the top, and people were so interested in him. Here we are post-war, and American men just fell in love with Arnold Palmer because he was so every man. And has anyone done a better job before Peyton Manning of taking his sports celebrity and becoming such a spokesperson? I mean,
no.
What he did after his golf career was over is incredible.
Yeah.
How to monetize your celebrity with endorsements.
Yeah, because he still spoke to people.
Still.
I mean, people still bought, okay, if Arnie says that's the oil I need to use in my tractor, then by golly, I better use that, and that's the rental car company I'll probably go with, too.
Mm-hmm.
If it's good enough for Arnie, it'll probably work for me.
Boy, and he had such an easy, believable manner about him in those spots.
Right.
Yeah.
And when he was playing, if he would win a tournament, he would win $2,000 or $5,000, you know. Today, you win a spare tournament and you win $1.2 million. Yet, his net worth at the time of his death, $675 million.
Holy mackerel.
So that tells you how much he earned in endorsements post his career.
What do you think Tiger's worth now?
Well,
about half as much as you think.
Well, yeah, the divorce cut into it. But he's right in the same ballpark, I bet you. He would have been a billionaire if not. Yeah, he's worth about $700 million.
Good Lord.
If not for the divorce, he would have been a billionaire by now.
Well, plus he gave back so much, too. I think that was another influence he had on athletes was the prospect of giving back, and the charitable work that he did was not only instrumental, I think, for individuals, but just like the whole tour. I think he got that idea really started, too, about giving back, making tournaments for charity. And, boy, you talk hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars over the years that he helped generate for charities.
So I asked my sports friends, tell me about his career. So he had that real dominant stretch, what, in the late 50s, 58,
late
60s
to early 60s.
Four.
Yeah, he won seven majors, all seven of his majors between 1958 and 1964. He won a ton of other tournaments. He was winning.
Says he won 93 tournaments worldwide.
Yeah, winning just about every week, it seemed like. So in that stretch, and then Jack burst onto the scene slightly after Arnie, and Jack started winning a ton of tournaments that Arnie probably would have won. You know, he played during Jack's heyday. Arnie may have finished with 12, 13 majors, yeah, if not for Jack.
Tell me about the rivalry between these two. Is there a real rivalry?
Yeah. I mean, they were always really good friends. In fact, Jack released a statement last night, and it was beautifully written, talking about how they were fierce rivals, but that never affected their friendship, that they were always great friends throughout the rivalry.
And the way this is before our time, but the way my dad always told it was Jack took a lot of heat when he was bursting on the scene because, well, who's this guy? We already have our hero.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he took a lot of criticism. He used to call him Fat Jack and things like that. And it's because people loved Arnold so much. They really didn't.
And I saw Jack as
they
usurping.
They saw Jack as, yeah, what are you doing winning tournaments? We want Arnold to keep winning these tournaments. So there was a little bit of that, but Nicholas handled it very well, and then, yeah, they became very close.
And there were kind of the three guys at that time, right? Gary Player was in there, too.
Yeah, part of Jack's statement, he said last night, we were great competitors who loved competing against each other, but we were always great friends along the way. Arnold always had my back, and I had his.
And even when Arnie was screwing up, people just loved him that much more. I was reading about how in the L.A. Open in 61, how it was a par 5. He was on the ninth hole at Rancho Park, and he carded a 12. He hit four balls out of bounds.
See? Every man's done that.
Right. He was the first athlete to receive three of the U.S.'s civilian honors, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Congressional Gold Medal, and the very generically named National Sports Award.
That's okay. Yeah.
And he was the president of Arnold Palmer Enterprises. He supervised the design and development of how many new or remodeled golf courses, do you think?
No telling.
I know it's over 200.
It's more than 300.
Wow.
More than 300 golf courses. And he created that damn drink, that Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
The iced tea lemonade combo that still sells under his name.
Yep. Genius. And a pilot.
Yeah, that's the other thing. So he buys his first plane. He buys this used twin prop Aero Commander for $27,000 back in 1962. And he became the first golf pro to pilot his own plane from tournament to tournament. And then he went into jets he traded in the turboprop for jets in 1966. And I didn't realize this. He and two co-pilots, and they had an observer, circumnavigated the globe in 1976 in 57 hours and a half. It was a world record for jets in the 17,000 to 26,000 pound category.
Hmm.
Spent more than 20,000 hours in the cockpit.
Wow.
That's a lot of flying.
Yeah, I think how many athletes now and golfers just, you know, that's the thing to do, to have your private plane.
He was
one of the first.
And the other thing is he had this handshake agreement with this Cleveland lawyer that he met when he was in the Coast Guard for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Arnie was in the Coast Guard. And he met this guy, liked him. Guy was became a lawyer, and so they shook hands on this management agreement. And that guy, Mark McCormick, formed the International Management Group, which is now one of the foremost sports agencies mm-hmm. in the world.
IMG.
Yeah.
Created because of Arnie.
Wow.
And he said one of his big disappointments was that he never won the PGA Championship. He wanted to complete that career Grand Slam, and he didn't.
Four Masters, two British Opens, one U.S. Open. And he won Colonial in 62.
He married a woman, Winifred Walzer. She was 19 years old, studying interior design when he met her. And he proposed to her 3 days after they hit it off at the dinner. 3 days.
Wow.
And he proposed. And they stayed married until she died in 1999 at the age of 65. Her family always thought she made a mistake in marrying Arnold Palmer. At least they did for many years.
Then they finally came around.
Then they finally came around.
He rolled up in his jet. They went, okay.
I guess this is going to work out.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, I guess.
And then for his 37th birthday, she was the one that arranged for one of his friends to attend a family party. And there was a surprise guest. Dwight Eisenhower comes and plays with him, plays golf at Augusta National. And
wow.
He was real excited about that. I guess it was the first time he played with him.
Anyway, all the golf pros we know, too, just say he was the best. I mean, just the nicest person, just a golf ambassador, but just an ambassador. He was just, I don't know, everything you wanted a person to be.
Nicer than the Golden Bear?
Yeah, it's tough to say because Jack is Jack, but yeah, I think...
Jack's pretty nice. He's just not as warm as Arnie.
Yeah.
You met Jack.
Yeah, there we go. That's better.
Yes. Yeah, stay hard, Arnold Palmer, dead at the age of 87. Good long life. A lot of accomplishments in that life.
Yep.
He probably will surpass all three of us put together.
Yes.
Major League Baseball loses one of its best pitchers this weekend. Incredibly sad story as the 24-year-old Jose Fernandez, the Marlin, he's out boating with a couple other guys at night off the coast of Miami, and they hit this jetty, and basically the boat just is obliterated. They say it was a horrible accident, and they probably died immediately upon impact. And the Coast Guard finds the wreckage of this. They're doing a routine patrol at 3:30 in the morning. They find the wreckage of this boat. They see a flashing boat light out there, and they go over to it, and there's just wreckage everywhere out there. And Fernandez was with these two friends. It was a 32-foot motorboat smashed into that jetty, they say going at a high rate of speed, and they couldn't determine whether alcohol or drugs were involved in the crash. They got to wait for toxicology on that. But none of them wearing life vests either, Giorgio.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know if it would have saved him given the high
impact. Well, it probably wouldn't, but they were out boating without life vests to begin with.
I just
out in the ocean, too.
In the ocean at night, yeah. Well, and apparently he was so well-loved in their clubhouse. Just really, really nice guy. And they talked about he was always, for the announcers that knew him, his teammates that knew him, that he always had a smile on his face. Because look what he'd overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he defected from Cuba. He was jailed. Yeah. And he tried to defect from Cuba when he was a teenager, and he finally succeeds on his fourth try at age 15 to get to America. And he saved his mother from drowning on that trip.
Yeah, and she went into the water, and he went in after her.
And then he goes on, plays baseball in high school in Tampa, and chosen by the Marlins in 2011, gets to the majors in 2013, named National League Rookie of the Year. And in each of his four major league seasons, he had an ERA below 3.
Phenomenal talent. Threw at 100 miles an hour. Won tons of games early in his career. I mean, he was at age, 24? He was building a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just in his first few seasons, he was on that path.
Mm.
They canceled their game yesterday, which you can. I don't see how those players could have gone out and played.
Boy, and he just announced a few days ago that he and his girlfriend were pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm.
First child. So sad.
So sad. Speaking of so sad, we have the debate tonight.
Yes.
The Super Bowl is tonight. Super Bowl of politics.
This is the real Monday Night Football game tonight.
Yes. Finally, they're going to face off, and will he insult her? Will he go presidential? Will she draw him off sides? They say that in Hillary's debate preparation, which she's done a lot of this, she's been doing mock debates that last an hour and a half long, you know, no 30 minutes just to see what it's like. She's been doing these things to have endurance She's also had built a psychological probe, according to reports. She's been doing psychological reconnaissance on him, too. People discovering how to get to him personally and irritate him enough to...
throw him off his game.
Throw him off his game or get him irate to say something that's... But the thing is, so what if she triggers him and he goes off and says something that's really insulting?
Some people will like it.
Yeah. I think most Americans are going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans are going to love it if... Well, first of all, did you see his reaction to Mark Cuban's tweet? Mark Cuban tweeted that he was going to be front row to watch the humbling at Hofstra. And so Donald Trump responds, okay, if Mark Cuban's going to be there, he called him a doofus. If that doofus Mark Cuban's going to be there on the front row, I'm going to bring Jennifer Flowers to sit on the front row. Jennifer Flowers is a woman that Bill Clinton allegedly had a long time affair with and so on. So he says he's going to bring Hillary's husband's mistress to sit on the front row.
See, and that's how he's going to react tonight if Hillary baits him.
Right.
If Hillary tries to upset him, tries to get him emotional or off his game, he's just going to resort to that kind of stuff.
And I think that it's not going to hurt him.
I don't think it will either.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Pence,
like him, you like him,
has to come out and say, look, Jennifer Flowers is not going to be in the front row.
Is Cuban?
Cuban is going to be there.
He really is. Okay.
He really is going to be there.
Have you seen the projections? They are estimating 100 million people will watch this tonight.
Yes.
It is supposed to be the largest political event in our nation's television history.
By the way, that interview you played between Two Ferns with Hillary,
it was
24 hours had 30 million views.
30 million views. It's the most quickly watched, the most watched on the first day of any Funny or Die video.
30
and you know, and you know why they're anticipating 100 million watching tonight? Because everybody wants to see a train wreck, because most of the country dislikes both of these people tremendously, and they want to see both of them go up in flames, and they want to see it get emotional and get tacky and catty, and they
we're tuning in for the explosion.
Yes. And you know what? I think we're going to get it.
I think we are,
There's
too.
Good chance, yeah.
I think that Trump is not going to be presidential. And I think that it would be a wise move for him not to be.
Mm-hmm.
See, I
you
think
know,
he
don't
needs
be,
to be
boring.
Come out in a T-shirt.
I think he needs to be for these people that are on the fence thinking, maybe just because I'm not a Hillary person. And if he just gives the appearance of being presidential, I think that's critical if he's going to have a chance, is to get those people that may give him the benefit of the doubt, but they want to see something presidential.
Lester Holt is moderating. There's the debate. They had to, both camps had to argue, I think, about the podium height and everything. I think Hillary wanted a little platform to stand on, because we Americans judge things according to height for some reason. And so I don't think she's going to be allowed to stand on anything, but they did lower her podium.
Ah, okay.
Which is good, because if she's doing the old, there's nothing more uncomfortable than seeing somebody who's not tall struggling to even look over a podium as they're talking, and everybody, I can't hear you! All right.
I'm guessing tomorrow's muse will be all debate.
Yes, yes. Hopefully it will be full of great sound bites, too.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, maybe if you gave Bill some, he wouldn't have turned to Jennifer Flowers. Okay.
Olivia Newton-John is 68 years of age.
Great
you
in her
bet.
Day.
So sad.
Why is that sad? She's got a hot daughter, I think, too, that Olivia Newton-John. Linda Hamilton is 60. Doug Supernaw is 56. Are you worn with him, George? He's a country singer.
No.
Melissa Sue Anderson of Little House on the Prairie is 54.
One of my childhood crushes.
Jim Caviezel is 48. He played the Jesus.
Yeah.
Very controversial music producer, Dr. Luke,
by the
is
way,
43.
Jim Caviezel is married to Scott Linehan's sister. That's
really?
That's the cowboy tie-in.
I'm insane now.
Yeah.
And turning 35 today is this sports greatness, Serena Williams.
Oh, boy, that is greatness.
You're up to date.
Okay, thanks. That's Muse. It's a special Monday edition of Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Load Bearing Wall Pros.
Well, Gordon couldn't make it, so I'm going to be hosting
Hello,
Corner.
Mushmouth.
Hey, Chris.
Did you have a pretty good little weekend?
Pretty
I'm back, Mushmouth.
Okay, Gordo's gonna take over here. Go ahead,
Gordo. Okay, Gordo's gonna take over.
See you, Mushmouth.
Hey, thank you so much, Mushmouth. Thank you for filling in for me on short notice there.
He's gone. Pretty good little day. Oh, he's already.
Yeah, he's already out of here. Before we get to your phone calls, 888-787.
Oh, he walked right into the electric fence.
He has an invisible fence collar, and we had already activated it.
Caught him coming through there.
Yeah, before we get to your phone calls, your reaction to the Cowboys game, 888-787-1310 is our telephone number if you want to share that exciting and compelling opinion, question, comment.
Poplar.
Poplar things.
Was he really talking about the wood there or the tree, or was he actually trying to say popular?
Popular.
Trying to say popular.
Swear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let me hear that again.
Poplar. I don't know what I just said.
We get this tweet here, at least I did, put my name on it. P1 Joe. He says, tell fake Jerry, the guy that got ran over on the sidelines is my father-in-law.
Oh, man.
You guys were laughing.
Independent concussion specialist. He is okay.
All right.
Good.
That's inside information you can only get here on this very radio station or Twitter.
The ICS.
The Independent Concussion Specialist, yes. Yes. All right, you ready to go to the phones?
I guess.
Okay, we start with Dave in Arlington. You're up first with the Musers.
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Okay.
All right. Hey, man, it's a beautiful time of year, man. I got to go to Cowboys Stadium. I was walking in there, and I looked in the sky mirror, and George, I could see Uranus. It was great.
All right. That is our first
hilarious
cowboy call.
You know, he set that up and delivered it well. A lot of people don't really know how to deliver that punch. They get the wording wrong. But that was well done.
Brilliant.
What's your reaction, George, to him seeing Uranus?
You were at the
game.
That was
hilarious.
Sky mirror.
Yeah.
Chris in Houston. You're on the ticket with the Musers.
Hey, Gordo, I got a pretty good little solution to avoid a quarterback controversy when Rumo returns. And also, it helps CoachBot 3000 be viewed as forward-thinking. You play them both, depending on down and distance and field position. Let Dak come in, maybe play 30% of the snaps. You preserve Romo, and then because of Dak's contributions, they win the Super Bowl. Romo retires. You avoid any more, you know, uncomfortable decisions, and then problem solved. You're welcome.
No, the sniff at the end, too.
And a cough.
So confident.
Off. Brilliant.
You know, one of my funny scenarios is that, let's say that this part isn't funny. Tony doesn't really get healthy enough to play again this season. It's still nagging injury, and they get to the playoffs. They go all the way to the Super Bowl. They win a Lombardi Trophy. And Tony finally gets his Super Bowl ring.
Without, as a backup.
Without ever taking a snap.
As a member of the team.
Yes. And think about all the annoying barroom arguments that's going to cause. Because people will be able to say, Romo defenders will say that he has a Super Bowl ring. Yeah, but he didn't even take a snap in that season. Hey, look, he has a ring. He owns every Cowboy record. He has won a ring. He's the greatest Cowboy QB of all time. Whatever the argument's going to be. But if Romo gets a ring, then what do you say then?
Nobody would make that argument.
You don't think anybody would give him credit for a ring?
No way.
No.
They
didn't give Danny credit.
Yeah, nobody says Danny won a Super Bowl.
And he did.
Even though he did more than Tony would have done, Danny punted them to that title.
Yeah.
I like steak.
And he came
so Danny
in a playoff
won a Super
game.
Bowl.
But nobody
yes,
says
Danny has a Super Bowl. How many
yes,
Super Bowl rings does Danny have? Just one?
One.
But Super Bowl 12.
But, that's pretty huge.
But how come when asked which Cowboy quarterbacks won Super Bowls, people only say Roger and Troy?
So that sucks. So you mean to tell me that that's the one exemption you have if you're the worthy starting quarterback, you're still on the team, you get the Super Bowl ring, you really don't even get credit for having a Super Bowl ring.
No, Danny didn't.
No.
But I'm here to tell you that all these hypotheticals that are being thrown out, 3 weeks from now, Tony Romo will be back as this quarter as this team's quarterback, and he will finish the season as this team's quarterback.
Whoa, strong words from the Jubinator.
So you mean that from a staying healthy perspective?
Yeah, I think he'll play the rest of the year.
Hmm. George, he
I know
completely rehabbed, right? And he was ready to go, and they were gingerly bringing him back, and he lasted, what, three plays?
Well, he got landed on funny.
Yeah, I agree with half of your scenario. Guaranteed he will be the starter when he's healthy. Guaranteed.
But how can you guarantee that he's not going to get hurt?
But, yeah.
Because sometimes I see into the future.
Oh.
Did you see into the future that he would get hurt in a preseason game?
Yeah, I tried to tell y'all before the Seattle game, this is not going to be good for Tony Romo. But
because
listened.
Preseason games are so much rougher?
I don't remember that.
No, I didn't predict his injury.
Gene in Carrollton, you're on the ticket.
Good morning, Buses. How are you doing this morning, guys?
Doing fine, okay. Gene.
Good. Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you, you talk about hard hits in the game. I think the third hardest hit was that poor guy on the sideline because he got leveled.
Yeah, I know. That was sad to see. We just did a report on him, Gene. Did you hear that he's okay?
Oh, is he okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even realize it. Sure. And you know what else I want to mention? That, boy, that Jerry Jones' wife, she's some foxy lady. She's a beautiful woman.
How old are you?
Beautiful.
How old are you, Gene?
70.
70. Where are you from again?
From Manhattan, New York City, babe. Yeah.
You grew up on Manhattan.
I went to Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan, and I came down to Texas in 72.
And where you got his Texas accent from.
72.
72,
you hear that long.
Yeah.
Since 1972, and you haven't lost a bit of your former accent. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, sure. What else I want to ask you is,
refer to notes.
Okay, I'll give you, I'll mention another time.
Okay. He'll mention another time.
Okay, I'll give somebody else a chance to talk.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. Appreciate it.
Have a great day now, guys.
All right. Always nice to hear from Gene. Let's go to Greg. Greg in Dallas. You're on the ticket.
Hey, Jub.
Yes.
You like butt cheese in your milk?
No.
A weird question.
Yet irrelevant.
Because I guess
somehow.
He does, but no, I don't.
Brad in Dallas, you're on with the Musers.
Hey, guys, what's going on today?
Hey, Brad.
What an accent that previous caller has. And I'm not going to say a word about George's bowels, I promise.
Good.
Thank you.
Couple observations about yesterday. As you notice, when the old guy got hit on the sidelines, he had a look on his face like he just messed himself. Did it seem like he had something going on down there?
I don't know how we could confirm that.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask. And then as far as Washington, have you ever noticed that Kirk Cousins looks a bit like a marionette puppet?
Yes, he does.
What's going on with that? Thank you, Brad. Let's go to Alex in Dallas. You're on the ticket.
Boys, I'm overly excited about this Cowboys season. It's special to a lot that goes on. Of course it is. I got two comments and a question. Number one, with Dak and Zeke playing the way they are, we can't let up. We got to let the Cowboys ride. Number two, now, we can't – every other team is going to be gunning for us, all right? So let's get going.
Let's go to Randy in Dallas. Randy, you're on with the Musers.
Musers.
Randy.
Hey, Randy.
Randy.
Hey, what's the difference between a Lombardo trophy and a Lombardi trophy?
What?
And I like Danny. Also like steak.
What the hell's going on?
That was one of the worst calls we've ever had to the station.
Robert in Plano, you're on the ticket, 1310 and 96.7 FM.
Musers. Robert. Hey, Gordo.
Yeah.
20 years ago,
yeah,
I used to call in to the ticket as the fake Jack Buck. Do you remember me?
Kind of. No, I don't think so.
You told me you hated me and you never to call again.
I invited you to never call here again.
Yes,
in our estimation?
In our estimation. So I waited 20 years and I'm calling again.
Wow, let's hear a little bit of your Jack Buck.
And this is Jack Buck on CBS Radio. Aikman back to pass, and it's a touchdown.
It's really not that good.
It's okay.
Are you gay?
It's okay.
I mean, for billing himself as the fake Jack Buck, it's not really that good.
Mm. Yeah. So in 20 years that he had to work on that.
He didn't get any better.
No.
That is messed up, yo.
Uh-oh, Mike in Duncanville.
Uh-oh.
You're on with the musers.
Terrence Williams is a novice football player. What an idiot. Carrying the football in his right hand, there's four defenders in front of him. Instead of going down or running out of bounds, he decides to take on five defenders. It's time to cut Terrence Williams.
Cut him?
Yes.
That was a great back and forth.
Get him off the team. He's an idiot. Fire him.
You think he's really that mad about Terrence Williams fumbling?
No. Mike,
yes,
are you
I
really?
Am.
Oh. Okay, yeah. Right, well, now okay. We got confirmation that okay. He is. Right. Very calm confirmation.
I mean, he's an idiot play every week. I mean, what else do you want him to do? You want him to run the football the other end and do a safety? I mean, what's it going to take?
Do a safety.
Run all the right, football Mike. To the other end and do a safety. Jake and Irving, you're on the ticket.
Can we do the fight over so I can punch him in the face? Hey, you think we're going to have a overblown game of Hyde and Zeke against the 49ers?
Oh,
maybe.
Charlie in Plano, you're on the ticket.
Hey, sorry. The part on Napoleon Dynamite, the part on Napoleon Dynamite where he takes a swig out of his drink is coming up. So I'm just going to let somebody else have a chance at speak. Thanks.
What is going on? Gilbert in Bridgeport, you're on the ticket. Brian in North Richland Hills, you're on the ticket.
Guys, defense is not taking us anywhere this year. Get Romo back, get him in the game, pray he doesn't get hurt, and trade him to somebody that needs him. Thanks.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's a big contract.
Trade Romo?
It's a big contract.
No one would
to trade.
Take on that. Yeah, I don't think so.
Josh in Dallas, you're on the ticket.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I had a question. Who do y'all think would trade for Romo at the end of the year? I mean, with the way things at Prescott's going, why wouldn't you just stick with him? I mean, why not take advantage of the value there and look at trying to work a deal with Romo?
Maybe the Rams would take him because they've got money, they're in a big market, and their top pick can't see the field.
Yeah. Who else? Just a quarter. Well, there's a lot of teams that feel like they're a quarterback away. Dolphins.
How old's Tony now? 36?
Six.
Yeah.
The Bears.
Bears? After seeing that last night? Yeah. Call the Bears.
And we'll finish up with Mark and Capel. You're on with the Musers on Monday morning. Fantastic feedback.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Okay.
Hey, do you think that Garrett should call Zeke's number on goal line situations to get him some confidence and build his game?
I think Zeke's confidence level is okay.
Okay. Well, I was just
wow, that was
everybody this morning.
A real hot exchange that we had there.
Zeke's going to get plenty of touchdowns. I don't think that's like this big issue right now.
All right, we'll go one more. Greg and Austin, you got the last word.
Hey, George.
Yeah?
Irregardless of the defense played last night, have you ever eaten a train piece by piece after you just derailed it with your weenus?
No. No, I never have.
Yes, I got it. Thank you, man.
Okay. Welcome.
He and his buddy. I guess they were trying to settle
a bet,
big
debate.
Maybe, sports argument they were having.
Settled. And there you go. The last time we'll ever take calls after a Cowboy game. That's it.
These are true fans.
Boy, they are.
I'm not sure that's correct.
Have you ever eaten a train piece by piece after derailing it with your weenus?
What a waste of everybody's time.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
You know what? To be quite honest with you, and Craig, you can testify to this. I've known George for a quarter of a century now. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the answer to that. I learned something today.
I can vouch for him that he didn't know the answer.
Thank you very much.
You guys are morons.
All right. Thank you, Gordo. That's the corner. It's